if you're new to Eagle Worldwide Ministries, what we do is we have a prophetic watch night service on the 31st, New Year's Eve, going into New Year's. And we have different people that we know their prophetic giftings, and they seek the Lord in order to hear what God is saying for 2026. And so then they come up and they release the word. And so that's what we did on the 31st. Now, we realized that with the weather, not everybody was able to make it. There was snowy conditions. We actually had a fair number of people considering the condition. I was very surprised. Some people that were hungry and were able to come in and still had that desire to be here. And others who recognize you're in snowy situations, your cars wouldn't start, or we recognize all that. So what we're going to do is two of the people that live in the outlying areas and they had a long distance to travel are going to give their prophetic words today that they normally would have given on the 31st. And we know that, you know, God works all things out, right? I just believe they're meant to be spoken today and not on the 31st. So first of all, we're going to have Joyce. Joyce is part of our intercessory team. She goes before the Lord. And let's just have Joyce come on up and let's hear the prophetic word that God has placed upon your heart. Come on up, Joyce, for 2026.
I'm glad the Lord got me out of that snowbank. Hallelujah. He's faithful. So the prophetic word for the year 2026, this is what I heard the Lord say. A year up and running, out of the cave, out of the woods, all captivities being loosed, all bonds are being broken, fresh freedom to fly. Eagles are ascending. Eagles are soaring high. But not just high, higher. The open blue skies are waiting for you, his eagle, to enter into. The watch is in my hand, says the Lord. I'm the guardian of time. I hold your plans in my heart, and I am fast forwarding you into a new start of fulfilled promises that are yours here and now. The new year is your fresh forward momentum of my fire, my love burning fiercely for you to reach me in my holy place, heaven's heart to heart encounter. A year of new, fresh wind blowing over this land of Canada. It's a wind blowing with strength and freedom. And that freedom is moving into the roots that are being built from God's word, his true foundation for this, his land. Canada, the old has gone. The new is here. New healing, new leaders, new soldiers built and fighting for God. The movement underground is uprooting, rising from out of the ground, following the sound of God's glory light, and taking flight as he wins the fight. And Canada is once again saved, strong and free, as God meant it to be. Israel, you are my nation. You are my rising star, and the world will see your anointing lead our fallen world into fresh hope. That brings beauty for ashes. Israel, you are a nation in the palm of the Father's hand. So your days in year 2026 will increase in prosperity and my presence, says Yeshua Messiah. Israel, you will continue to be of good cheer, for your faithful God is forever near. Year 2026, I see the leaders of the nations of the earth set themselves against me, says the Lord. But remember, I sit in the heavens and I laugh, says the Lord of hosts. And my joy is my laughter, and it's a contagious stream flowing into you this new year. Hilarious, undignified joy in the depths of your belly will bring health to you, strength to you. My newness of life, says your happy God. Psalm 2, 2 and 4. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. He sitteth in the heavens and he laughs. My glory is my gold, and I will unfold my gold as you obey me in giving. Your generosity in giving is opening the gates of heaven to give new business, new ministry, new debt cancellations to you, says your Jehovah Jireh. Year 2026, I see divine dance erupting from stale worship. From mourning to dancing, Psalm 30:11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Exuberant, lively, exciting atmosphere, angels moving into God's house of glory. Holiness leads to God, and he's worthy of all glory, love, and worship, and awe. And we've just seen that demonstrated already today here. Year 2026, God is speaking his word in and through his fiery servants, his prophets, his lions, blowing the trumpet in Zion, sounding his alarm to alert, align the earth to his powerful presence. His thunder and his still small voice is heard in 2026. Joel 2:1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain, says the Lord. Then I see a mighty river of repentance flooding hearts into transformation, positioning for salvation, healing, and the first fruit of my spirit life. Friends, year 2026 is a year of a shift, sudden shift, coming swiftly and straight from our dear Savior, in whose arms we are safe, sound, and secure. Let's welcome God's best for all of his beloved this blessed new year 2026. God bless you all. I love you.
Amen. Now we're going to have Sharon come on up. And Sharon, if you ever want to find her, she's somewhere praying. That's this woman prays day and night, night and day. She's like, who was it, Anna, that served God in fasting and praying in the temple? Amen.
Happy New Year, everyone. Praise the Lord. Okay, as I was praying, the Lord gave me Psalms 27. And the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And the Lord was ministering to me how important it is that we are lights in this world, that we are garments of light, and that the Bible says that we don't hide our light under a bushel, but rather our light is to be seen before the world, before our neighbors, before mankind. So I believe this year that our light is going to increase as we increase in the Lord. And I had a dream. I believe it was January the 1st. So it was good timing that I'm saying what I'm saying now, because I didn't have it yet the night before when you were celebrating New Year's Eve. And okay. And in the dream, I had a couple dreams. And in the dream, it was like a series of dreams that I had. But in the dream, I saw the Lord removing shoes that I had on. And I could see that they were put aside. And I was looking at these shoes. And I said to myself, oh, those are my comfortable shoes. Those are very comfortable shoes. And then I saw that these other new shoes were put on me, and it had a strap on it. And then the dream shifted. And I was going up these stairs, and it was quite a few stairs and steps that were going up the stairs. And then halfway up the stairs, I looked down and noticed my strap was a little loose. So I made an adjustment, and I made sure that my strap was tightened. So I really believe that the Lord is saying that this year is going to be a year that the Lord has taken many of us out of our comfort zone. and that he's putting new shoes on us that are going to stretch us, to put us in a place to prepare us. I saw the Lord, that's the word that I got, was preparedness. When I was looking down at my shoe, then I made it an adjustment to make sure it was on right. It was like I stopped, and when I was looking down at my shoe, it was like, this year is a year to be prepared. So it was like, prepare yourself, body. Prepare yourself that the Lord wants us to be mindful of the things that he's asking us to prepare ourselves for. Now, I know that would look different for each and every one of us, because the Lord speaks to us in different ways, but everyone has something that the Lord is building in your life and something that he wants each and every one of us to prepare ourselves for this year, so we can become those greater lights on earth, and that we could, the church would arise. So that's what I was getting, and I thank the Lord for it. And I also had a dream. Excuse me. And then the dream shifted to, I saw this woman in my dream, and her name was Elizabeth. And I seen her dream a dream. I seen her dreaming, and I seen what she was dreaming. And then when she came from the dream, I talked to her. I was talking to her, and I was telling her about the dream that she dreamt. And I explained to her, I gave her the interpretation of the dream. So, and the meaning of it. So I really believe that we're stepping into this new year of greater realms of dreams and visions like never before. And the fact that I could interpretate somebody, to see them dreaming a dream, like Joseph, it reminded me of Joseph in the Bible when he was in prison, and that he interpreted the king's dream. So this is where we're entering into this year. The Lord is really pouring his spirit out, like in Joel 2:28, that in the last days, I shall pour out my spirit upon old and upon the flesh, and old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall prophesy. So I declare over all the young people that they'll be prophesying in a greater, tremendous measure this year. And that's what I really believe the Lord was showing me in this dream, about the level of prophecy and the spirit of revelation that he's pouring in these last days. And I believe it's this year, because why did I get that dream that the first day of the year? So I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all the young people that they shall prophesy this year. And it doesn't, and the Bible says not to despise those that are young, because the Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit to them as they are with us. There's no big or small Holy Spirit. It's all the same. So I thank you, Lord, for pouring out your spirit upon the young ones in this place. Lord, that they shall prophesy as never before, as they enter in and their gifts of the Holy Ghost shall be poured, and that you are equipping them in those gifts that you have given them. And I pray, Lord, that the dream realm shall be poured over each and every one in this place, Lord, like never before. May the spirit of revelation rest upon you, each and every one of you, in a heavy way this year. As we yield ourselves to the Lord, as we are prepared with our feet shod with peace and preparedness this year, and as we yield ourselves more to the Lord, and I see us pressing in into the Lord in a greater way, that the church is arising and becoming alive in Him. And may we all become alive in Him. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
And we have one last prophetic word that you do not want to miss. However, since you don't want to miss it, you have to be here next Sunday, because Pastor Anne-Marie is going to deliver her prophetic word within the message next Sunday. So that's the cliffhanger, Russ. That's a cliffhanger. It's going to be a good word. All right, let's give Pastor Patty a hand as she comes up and just explains what the Lord has placed upon her heart for today.
Amen. You know, Dr. Russ always said, this is not my pulpit. You remember him saying that? Those of you who were around then? He's like, this is the Lord's pulpit. And aren't we blessed that he has been such a father and a mentor and raised up so many voices? Isn't that amazing that he has given the microphone to so many people and women? Isn't that amazing? He's taken some flack for that. But you know what? God placed the heart of the Father in him that he would raise up sons and daughters. And we're so blessed. We're so blessed. And I know we heard lots of great words on New Year's Eve. If you missed that service, go back. And I know we're going to hear Dr. Russ's word as well. When we get that recording, we're going to release that here. I'm going to give you a little summary of my word and just tell you what the Lord placed on my heart. How many of you get excited about a new year? Anybody? Oh, yeah, it's fresh start. Come on. It's a fresh start. Turn to somebody and say, it's a fresh start for you. It's a fresh start. Oh, God is going to do some amazing things this year. He is. And I wanted to share with you that our yieldedness, how yielded we are, will facilitate the maximum amount of what God can do. In other words, God can only do as much as you and I give him place or room to, right? Because he will not violate our will. If we say, no, I don't want to do what you want to do, God, he'll just let us do that. But if we say, God, I want everything that you have for me in 2026. I want to step in. I want to walk in it. I want to live in it. I want to obey you. And, you know, I don't know how many of you have been watching that series that has been out called House of David. Anybody been watching that lately? It's actually a really very good series. Of course, they take a story from the Bible and then they, you know, they add to it and interpret it. But our household has been watching season 2. And I'm telling you, it's made me just want to run to the Word and read the Word and get in the Word. And there's something about the stories of the great men and women of God. They had their successes and they had their failures. And we can learn from them. And I want to encourage you this year, get in the Word. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Be a man of the Word, a woman of the Word. And Pastor Miguel encouraged us. He did a phenomenal sermon. If you missed it, the last sermon of 2025, I want you to go back. It was a fantastic sermon. We weren't here, but we were watching. We were watching. I was actually by the pool, and I had the live stream of the service, and it was a powerful message on prayer. I want to encourage you to listen to it. And he was exhorting us to pray in the Holy Ghost this year. You know, as we pray in the Holy Ghost, we build ourselves up. Who doesn't need to be built up spiritually? Do we all need that? And if you aren't filled with the Holy Ghost, then come and see us and let's pray with you. Because we want to see you filled with the Spirit. We want to see you walking in a new dimension of the Spirit of God. So if you do not speak in tongues and have not had that infilling with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want to invite you to speak to one of our prayer team members, our pastors, and we would love to pray with you because there is a shift. There's a shift when we get baptized in the Holy Ghost. But how many of you know God didn't give us that gift of being baptized in the Holy Ghost so that we could just come and pray in tongues for a few minutes when we were in the service, right? The Lord gave me a revelation one time of Christians, and they had their closet, and it was full of dynamite. And they would go in once a week, and they would get one stick, and they would light it. And then all the rest of the week, that dynamite was in the closet. The Lord says, come on, let's get in the closet, in the prayer closet, get that dynamite, and let's light it up. And let's be filled with the power and the presence of God on a daily basis. Amen? Amen. And I don't believe that resolutions are a bad thing, New Year's resolutions, when we resolve. But it's a completely different thing when you get in the presence of God and you say, okay, Lord, what do you and I need to work on together this year? Because we all got stuff we got to work on. Anybody? We all got stuff. But when we work together with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we say, God, help me with what I'm working on this year. I want to walk in obedience to you. I want to walk out your will. I want to be empowered by you to do that which I can't do by myself. But with you, all things are possible. Oh, I'm telling you, setting goals are a great thing, but not your own goals, God's goals through you. Getting with him and saying, okay, Lord, what are we going to work on this year? I want to be a woman of your word. I want to be a man of your word. I want to be a woman in the spirit. I want to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I want to encourage you, exhort yourself that discipline is a good thing. You know, when I grew up, I was the last one. I was the fourth kid. And my mama said she was tired. You know what I mean? By the time I came, she didn't really feel like disciplining me. So she kind of let me do whatever I wanted. And you know what happened? It was hard for me to discipline myself. And so the Lord, as he was maturing me, even when I was much older, there were some points of discipline where he and I had to work on it because it hadn't been worked in me when I was younger. And so there was a maturing that needed to take place. And what the Lord is saying is that in this season, he wants to come. And even though those little things in our lives, there are little things that defile us, little things. We don't think they're that important. We go, oh, well, that's just a little thing. It's not that important. I had a dream. And it was, I believe it was two nights ago, in the morning, and it was on this beautiful beach, and the ocean was there, and then I saw these little shellfish, and they were just placed a couple of feet apart, but they were over the entire beach. And what the Lord was speaking to me was that he was saying, I want you to take a look at the beginning of this year and see the things which would be defiling in your life that you don't realize it. Those little things. Defilements, like in the Old Testament, they didn't have shellfish because they were considered unclean because they were bottom feeders. Now, this is not a commentary on what if you should eat shellfish or not. This is, we're looking at the prophetic, right? And in the prophetic, it was a symbol of uncleanness. And I believe the Lord is wanting us to get those things off of our path, because when you're at the beach, you want to walk, and you don't want to walk on those things that would hurt your walk. Shells, they hurt. He wants us to remove those unclean things. And we already had a dream this morning that was talking about our new shoes. We're going to get some new shoes. Hallelujah. A new walk. and a new adjustments, and he's going to take us out of some of those uncomfortable, those comfortable places into the uncomfortable. But the Lord was speaking to me about saying, okay, Lord, is there anything in my life that would be a defilement? In terms of a defilement is something that causes a stain or is unclean in my heart, in my life. And I want to tell you a couple of recaps of my word, but I'm going to wait to do that at the end. And I want to tell you prophetically three things that the Lord was speaking to me for 2026. Three things. Number one, he is going to bring a Josiah generation arising. Now, why is this important in terms of unclean things? I'm not going to read all of this to you, but I encourage you to go and to read in 2 Kings about Josiah's rule. He was 8 years old. I'm going to read a little bit of it. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did, verse 2, what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his ancestor, David. He did not turn away from doing what was right. Now, I want to just set a little scene for you here. When I was researching this, this was hundreds of years after David. David was about 1,000 years before Christ. This was a few hundred years. Now, in all of that time, they had kings who did evil. They had some kings who did well, but a lot of them did evil. And they did not follow the ways of the Lord. And at this time, it had gotten so bad that it was almost unrecognizable in the temple of God. They had idols in the temple. They had prostitutes that had places in and around. Can you imagine? This is what it had gotten to. It was very defiled. Well, look at society today. Very defiled. Very defiled. We can't allow our mindsets to be like the mindsets of the world. They have to be pure, holy. And it says, in the 18th year of his reign, so he would have been 26 because he became king when he was 8. 26, that's pretty young, don't you think? Oh, come on. God is working in our young people. Do you see it? God is working in them. We cannot discount them. We have to come alongside of them because they are the leaders that God is rising up for now and for the future. He would have been 26, and he began to give instructions in telling them to go to restore the temple. He said, go restore the temple. Go, you need to hire carpenters and builders and masons, and I want you to do all this. So he gives this instruction to the priest, Hilkiah. The priest goes, he begins to rebuild and bring in the carpenters and the builders. Oh, aren't you glad that we have a generation that is getting a heart that we have to rebuild the temple of God? What is that? That's our praise. That's our worship. That's our consecration. That's our lives. And so what happened when they went in there? You know what they found? So they found the scroll. Oh, God. And it had been lost. I'm telling you, we're living in a time in society where the scroll is lost. The word is lost. It's not something that we take and we live. I talk to Christians that are living with someone and they're not married. Christians. And they wonder why all is not well with them. You got some open doors in your life and you're not living according to the word of God. Come on. Come on. Get rid of the defilement. And so they brought this. It says, I have found the book of the law in the Lord's temple. Well, hallelujah. See what happens when you begin to rebuild. See what happens when you begin to restore. I have found the book of the law. See, let's get into the book of the law this year. Let's have it restored in our lives, in our hearts, in our families. And it says, he went to the king, and this is verse 9, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, if it's a little bit different for you. It says, it says that he has given me a scroll, and so he read it to the king. And verse 11, it says, when the king heard what was written in the book of the law, he tore his clothes in despair. In other words, when we look in the book of the law, then we see it is the mirror that shows us what needs to be changed. And he began to tear his clothes. And this is worth the read. So go back and read the whole thing. But he began to give orders. And he began to get things in order and alignment. I believe that's another thing that God wants us to do in 2026. Get things in order. Get them in alignment. And he began to actually institute reforms. And I'm saying that God is raising up a Josiah generation, that they're going to be those that are going to come in and they're going to say, no, we have to do things according to the word. We have to change things. This is not, this is, the standard is not, should not be set by society. The standard has to be set by the word. And these young people and all of us as a company, we're going to come alongside and we're going to be doing that with them. And they begin to, he began to just do all kinds of reforms. And it says, I'll read this. This is chapter 23, verses 4. And the king instructed Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second rank, and the temple gatekeepers to remove from the Lord's temple all the articles that were used to worship Baal and Asherah and all the powers of the heavens. From where? 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 The Lord's temple. Wow. That's the state that it had gotten into. And if you continue reading, there were different other removals that he did of defilements. Oh, I just love this. It says he tore down the altars that the kings of Judah had built on the palace roof to other gods. He made it so that they couldn't sacrifice children anymore. Tore down altars. Josiah, this is the next, this is the same chapter, verse 24. Josiah also got rid of the mediums and the psychics and the household gods and the idols and every other kind of detestable practice, both in Jerusalem and throughout the land of Judah. He did this in obedience to the laws written in the scroll that Hilkiah, the priest, had found in the Lord's temple. Now, I'm going to pause right there. And you say, oh, but I don't have any idols in my home. Oh, I don't know. We spend a lot of time looking at some things that consume our time and our attention. We may have some idols in our home, and they might have screens on them. You know what I'm saying? We spend a lot of time. I was joking with the kids, and I said, oh, yeah, you know that little thing on your phone that says how many hours your screen time today? What's that on? 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours? I'm telling you, I had a beautiful vacation this past week, and most of it was because I just put that phone down. It was so nice. But it's not just phones. What consumes our mind, our heart, our attention? Because that is our worship. And lots of times it could be being busy and thinking of all the things that we have to do. It could be work. It could be children. It could be all kinds of things. It could be accumulating stuff. And your mind can become consumed with these things. These are defilements of us. We don't even realize they're taking up so much space in our heart, in our mind. But I believe that we are a generation that is arising, that is cleaning house. Amen? and we're getting out the book of the law and we're saying, okay, God, I didn't realize I was preoccupied with this. I didn't realize that my walk had maybe perhaps stumbled in that area, or I was going through the motions. But no, this is time to clean up and clean house. I believe it. There's a Josiah generation arising, chapter, I believe, 23, it says here, verse 24, it says, Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did. Oh, isn't that good? Don't you want God to say that about us this year? Oh, do you see my son, my daughter? There is not anyone like them because they are turning to the Lord. That's what I want him to say about me this year, that would mark my year. That I am turning to the Lord. I am turning to the Lord. Never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all his heart and soul and strength, obeying all the laws of Moses, and there has never been a king like him since. Wow. That's a tribute, isn't it? I'm telling you, our lives speak. What we tear down, what we allow, what we build up. Let's be a Josiah generation in 2026. And let's be those that, yes, we tear down those things that need to be teared down, and we build up worship. We build up. And I'll tell you something that God is building right now. He's building altars. And what does that mean? You know, an altar was a place of sacrifice, but it was a place of worship. Now, in the Old Testament, it was unusual. They hadn't had Jesus come yet. So what they did in their worship is they sacrificed animals, and they had to be without spot and without blemish. In other words, they had to take the best of the best of the best and offer it as worship. And they had to come, and when they slit that throat and the blood poured out on that altar, they knew that that animal was giving their lives because of their sin. It was a prophetic picture of what God was going to do with Jesus Christ. And you know what would happen? Now, I can't imagine, but let's just think. You know, so the people would go through and they'd say, oh, well, you know what? This lamb is a little blind. I think I'll give that one as my sacrifice, as my worship to the Lord. Oh, you know what? This lamb has a little defect. It's crippled. I don't want that in my flock. I'm going to sacrifice that one to the Lord. I'm going to put these ones on the altar. Blind, lame. Can you imagine? Giving it to the Lord. What is that a picture of? It's a picture that God wants our perfect, most perfect sacrifice of worship and praise and our offering. And you know what? The Lord, he didn't wink at that. He saw that. And I was spending some time in Malachi, and I was looking at this. And Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, and it's announcing right before Jesus is coming. And I'm telling you, God wasn't happy because he saw what was happening. He saw what was happening in the hearts of the lives of the people. They would go up for their sacrifice, but guess what? They were bringing these old defective sacrifices. And he goes through the whole book and he begins to reprimand them, saying, look what kind of worship you brought. And then he said, and even not even that, he says, you've robbed me. You're not giving me your tithes, your offerings. And look at these sacrifices you're bringing. And at the end of that book, he said, I'm calling you to repentance. I'm calling you to change. He says, I am the Lord. This is chapter 3 and verse 6. I am the Lord. I do not change. That is why You descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I love this part, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Isn't that wonderful? But this says, the people said, but how can we return to you when we've never gone away? And he said, should people cheat God? But you've cheated me. And then he goes into the whole thing about our tithes, our offerings. But I want to take you to the next chapter. This is for chapter 4. He says, remember to obey the law of Moses, my servant, all the decrees and regulations that I gave him. And it says, look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and I will strike the land with a curse. You know what? God is bringing restoration. God is bringing restoration. And he's bringing restoration in generations. Hallelujah. And when the fathers begin to cry out and repent, guess what happens? The children began to cry out and repent. And sometimes I'm telling you, the children are leading the way. When the children began to cry out and repent, and it takes us looking into the mirror of the law of the Lord and saying, Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon Hamilton. Have mercy upon Canada. Have mercy upon us. And crying out for the land. And you know, as God begins to work in our hearts, there is something amazing that happens. He brings generational restoration. Isn't that incredible? Because at the very heart of everything that God does, it's about family. It's about family. It's all about, you know, we are his kids. He is looking for restoration with us. And he's also looking for restoration between generations. And that's why I love that this is what I believe that God is saying into 2026, that number one, a Josiah generation being raised up. They're going to see, we are seeing the young people, and they are coming and they are declaring righteousness, and they're bringing a wave of restoration even to society. How? By their lives, what they do. And when they begin to live a life like that and they begin to tear down those things around about them, guess what? And then they touch another one, and then they touch another one, and they touch another one. We're seeing that with these young people. So the Josiah generation is rising up. And number two, restoration between generations, which I was just talking about. Because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And he says, look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah. Now, of course, we know that that was referring to John the Baptist that was going to come. But when John the Baptist came, what was the message that he released, everybody? Repent! 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 And you know, we don't like those words as the church. Why? We ought to love them. We ought to love them. Because that means, come on, guys, let me get my heart right. Let me get my heart right before you, Lord. Come on, let's get our hearts right. Let's get our hearts right between each other. Let's get our heart right before you, God. Let's get our heart right so that we can see. Oh, and when we begin to do that, guess what happens? That person wants to get their heart right, and they see, and oh, we're going to have restoration. We're going to have right relationship. And God does a work of restoration even between generations. And I know there are many here that have been crying out for their families. They've been crying out for the young people. I know there are many here been crying out for the older people. God is doing a work of restoration. And the third thing that he showed me was he's doing a restoration in people of the nations. And I'm not going to go through that in detail, but we are seeing the nations around us. Just look on every street corner. God is bringing nations here, and we need to know that the mountain of the Lord, it says, come let us, this is in Isaiah 2, come let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion will go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. And he shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. And at the beginning of that word, it says that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. We need to make sure in our society that we are being those who establish the mountain of the Lord. And that's what he's called us to, even in the midst of all the nations that are here. How are we going to do that? We have to be light, even as we were hearing about today. We have to be salt. We have to be light. And I believe that this is a year where you're going to see evangelism explode. I believe it's a year where we're going to see even the nations of the earth, as we're already seeing, but we're going to see them turning. We're going to see salvations, but we have to be those. We have to be the Josiah generation, and we have to have restoration in the generations so that we can see this other restoring work as well between the nations. And I'm just going to read you a little bit of my word of the Lord for 2026. Number one, this is to be a year of intimacy. God is calling us to intimacy. And as we come into intimacy, we're going to experience joy. That's what I've been crying out for this year. Lord, would you restore my joy? Restore my joy. Number two, it's going to be a year marked by restoration. There are many of you who have been crying out for restoration. And I saw a train that had been derailed. And there was like these tracks that were going. And the Lord spoke to me that some of the tracks that had been established in our generational line, that he was going to come and we were going to be the ones that were going to break that curse and things were going to get on track. Hallelujah. Do you know that in my husband's family, he was the first one saved? First one came to the Lord, had parents who didn't really serve the Lord, and his life is a turnaround life. Amen? For his family line, I believe that. Thank you, Jesus. I saw altars of prayer being rebuilt in homes across the nation. Thank you, Lord. That's part of that Josiah generation. Rebuilding those altars of prayer. I saw outpourings in unusual places. The Lord is getting ready to outpour his Holy Spirit. Do you believe it? He is. And are we crying out for it here? We need to be. That we need to be crying out that God would do what he wants to do in this place, in our families, in our hearts, in our lives. Hallelujah. Not necessarily the big places, though that's going to happen. I'm going to begin to pour out an abundance of rain. See, that's what our young people were prophesying with their song, an abundance of rain. Do you believe it? That's why I asked them to do that song this morning, because I believe it's prophetic for what God is doing in this hour. Hallelujah. An abundance of rain. And I will pour out my waters of refreshing on many who have been dry and weary. I'm telling you, God is doing that right now. Do you believe it? I know he's been doing it for me. I've been dry. I've been weary just of well-doing. But I know that God is pouring out something fresh in this season. Hallelujah. 2026, a year of intimacy, a year of restoration, a year of altars being restored and established, and a year of refreshing and the abundance of rain, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you are ready that you want God to put some things in order this morning? Amen. I think we got some great prophetic words this morning. God has released even over into this atmosphere. And now what he's doing is saying, okay, are you ready? Are you ready for what I want to do? Hallelujah. Are you ready for those new shoes? Are you ready for those new shoes? Shed some places of comfort. Oh, come on. I want you to stand up on your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. I have a couple of things on my heart that I just want us to respond in prayer. Oh, if you pray in the Holy Ghost, just pray. Oh, Holy Ghost, just come and move in this place today. Oh, Father, it's not about how fancy we can preach or how we can impress people. It's about our hearts. So, Lord, we want to come with our hearts this morning. Oh, Father, we want to come with our hearts this morning. And, Lord, we want to come on behalf of ourselves and behalf of our nation. And, Lord, I thank you that you are setting things in order. You're setting things in order. And how can you set things in order in society if we're out of order in the church, in the body? So, Lord, you're wanting to put me in order. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Just cry out and ask the Lord to do a work in your heart this morning. Oh, do a work in my heart, Lord. Do a work in my heart this morning, God. Oh, Jesus, do a work in my heart. Lord, anything that would be a defilement in my heart or in my life, God, help me to get it out. Help me to get the beach clean. Let there be a clean sweep. A clean sweep. Oh, I can't do it by myself, Lord. I need you. I need you. Just tell him, I need you, Lord. I need you, Jesus. I need you to empower me. I need you to give me grace. Lord, I need you to give me wisdom. I need you to give me everything I need to go into 2026. Lord, I need those new shoes. Come on, Jesus. Just give me whatever I need to go into that new place and to step in. Oh, even as we had that prophetic song this morning, stepping into the new place with you. Lord, I want to step out of every bit of old. I want to step out of the old. Talk to the Lord yourself this morning. Tell him if there's anything old you want to step out of. Just tell him. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a mindset. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's anxiety. Oh, maybe it's performance. Maybe it's materialism. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's just not even being intimate with him, but so busy and preoccupied, whatever it is. Come on, just lift that up to the Lord. And I believe that he's breaking chains this morning. I believe that he's dispensing new shoes this morning. Oh, Lord, we just lift it up to you. Every area, God. Every area where we're crying out for your help, where we're crying out for your mercy, where we're crying out for your reform, where we're crying out for your restoration, even in our families. We lift it up to you this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you wash us with your blood. Thank you that you cleanse us. Thank you that you restore us. And thank you that you season us. I hear the Lord say, I'm seasoning you with salt this morning. I'm seasoning you with salt this morning. I'm seasoning you with salt this morning because I've called you to be salty. I've called you to be salty. And I've called you to let your light so shine before men, so shine. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to so shine because it's the light of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's okay. Just give the Holy Spirit a moment to work. I want you to just respond back to him. What is it that you're looking for the Lord to do for you this year? Where do you need the Lord to help you this year? He's for you. He is for you. He is for you. But as we step in, there's some things that he's asking you to leave behind. Maybe they're comfortable, but he's saying, I want you to step in and step up to the new shoes and to leave those old ones behind. Are you ready to do that this morning? Are you ready to do that this morning? Are you ready to do that this morning? Oh, hallelujah!